Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Audaciousness Podcast with me, Maribel Ortega.
And me, Helen Strong. In this podcast, we showcase individuals who have set themselves bold and audacious goals and have worked to achieve them with the aim of inspiring others to also set themselves audacious goals and to create a positive movement in the world.
We'd like to highlight the fact that even regular people like you and me can have audacious goals and that role models are, in fact, all around us. Each and every one of us can have an impact in some way.
Thank you for joining us. We're delighted to have you with us. So, Maribel, 2 weeks ago, we recorded our last episode here in the Outer Hebrides because you were visiting me here in my home up on the west coast of Scotland. So you left here a couple of weeks ago. Tell us what you've been doing since then.
Well, after enjoying a full week at your place, which was literally really awesome, I continued traveling down the British Isles to London and then going through Paris and now arrived a week ago in Madrid and have been enjoying the warm weather and eating great food and speaking Spanish.
And you've done this tour all by bus, haven't you?
Yeah, very low CO2 emission. Yes, all this tour has been done and I will continue by bus, especially most of them night buses. So if you wonder what is the best way to sleep in a night bus, then get in touch with Mickey because I have developed a very sophisticated system to sleep 7-8 hours.
Wow, sounds interesting. Okay, so you're in Madrid now. The guest that we're going to hear from today is also based in Spain, is that right?
Our guest today is Gavin Scott. He lives in the south of Spain, in Malaga. We had an amazing interview with him. He connected with us through one of these portals that connects you with possible guests. And when I read his story and his purpose, I was convinced that this guy has some substance and things to share. So we invited him and had, I think, a great conversation with Gavin.
I would agree. So we'll listen to the interview with Gavin Scott now, and we'll come back in half an hour to talk about what we learned. So here's Gavin. We hope you enjoy the interview.
Well, welcome, Gavin, to this episode of Audaciousness. We're really happy to have you with us. Would you care to get off this interview started telling us about what it is that you do?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me. Firstly, it's so nice to be here. Basically, I mean, I don't really like the terminology life coach. I think it's kind of become very sort of general recently, but for all intensive purposes, that's how people would probably understand what I do the most. You know, I'm a content creator. I try and widen the lens of perspective for others to create space in their lives for betterment, which, you know, creates impact in other people's lives as well. Because if we're all playing at a higher vibration from a greater level of consciousness, then everything around us improves, right? So what I help people do really is to awaken. So some people might really feel that's quite like spiritual or a bit far-fetched. But what we mean by that is simply going from a place where you are simply reacting to life to consciously making decisions. So subconscious reaction to conscious choice. And you know, when you start making conscious choices, the whole world opens up and you start to see avenues and outcomes that you didn't think were possible before.
I liked particularly the word that you used to awaken. So what would you describe is the state that people come to you? Are they asleep?
Yeah, great question. No, they're not at all asleep. They are just not consciously awake. So their level of consciousness is much lower. Everybody has a level of consciousness. It all depends what level you have. So people with a low level of consciousness could be deemed to be asleep.
I mean, I
wouldn't call them sleeping because, you know, that might suggest they're zombies. We're all kind of here living together, right? So no, that's just a lower level of consciousness. That's all.
Okay. And then what are the audacious things that you're doing, that you have done, or that you plan to do?
Well, in my 30s, I said I'm going to work my 30s and live my 40s. And so I built a company from nothing, basically. And back in the 2009, when we had the layman's scenario going on and sort of bank funding was impossible globally, I raised a lot of money and started a luxury residential development company in London. And I worked on that for 8 years and I made a great success of it, only for my investors to be the ones to bankrupt me, basically, is what they did, is the short, simple term. They did it rather cheekily. It wasn't against the law. We had a tax change and that meant that people didn't want to buy houses and we had just gone to market to sell. And so because we couldn't sell, what the investors did was call in the loans, which at that time I couldn't repay, giving them control of the properties, et cetera, et cetera. So it was kind of like one of those house of cards that just fell down, you know. Bad timing, maybe bad choice of investors, who knows really. But a wonderful life experience. And as I said, the projects did finish successfully. So there are families living in those houses today. The investors made lots of money. I was just the fool guy, basically. So that was kind of my 30s. I'm still living my 40s now. So I guess I got my wish come true, right? Work my 30s, live my 40s. And now I'm a lot more dedicated really to not myself. You know, like that was quite a selfish path. I want to make money so that my family can live securely, which, don't get me wrong, we all need security and we all need to look after ourselves and our families. But the greater way of living, the greater gift of life is to give, you know, like to be kind and humble and want others to have what you don't and, you know, whatever else, live with no judgment and anything like that. So, you know, I've kind of gone full swing roundabout from this selfish life to this selfless life. And in 53 days, I'm going to be swimming the English Channel, which is England to France, is about 34 kilometers of open water, the sea, obviously. And I'm doing it to raise awareness around plastic pollution in the ocean. So raising funds for the Ocean Cleanup, which is a great project. They are trying to clean up the Pacific garbage patch. And I think that the level of toxicity within humanity is so big just from plastic alone that, you know, I'm really passionate about it. Like, I think we've got to not just clean up the oceans of plastic, we've got to lobby for the cessation of manufacturing plastic. You know, places like China are sort of pumping out 1 million bottles a minute. So you can clean up as much as you like, but also at the same time, if you don't stop producing, then you can only refill what you've cleaned up. So there's a long, long way to go. It's a really difficult subject to sort of feel in conversation like you've made somebody inspired. You know, just talking with my friends about it, it's like their level of, or their lack of motivation to improve their habits. But why should I improve my habits, Gavin? What will that get me? Well, I won't be here in 7 generations' time when the earth ends, so what do I care? Like, you know, it just, and I'm dumbfounded by this attitude. I just can't believe that one person can think that only their life matters, you know, like, since the beginning of time, whether we've physically been here or not, we've all been here together. And it just so happens that in this time, we've come here in the physical sense to experience something. So to deprive others in the future of experiencing that just seems so selfish. I just can't really understand it. So yeah, I do have a tough time trying to stay motivated and smiling when conversations like that come across. But I deeply believe in leadership from the front, leadership by example. So, you know, if I'm asking people to change their habits because I have a certain belief or passion, then I should exhibit those habits. And, you know, in doing so, not everybody will, but it's about shining light where there's darkness. And if you can shine light where there's darkness, eventually light will get through.
Wow. You've said many, many, many things that I would love to ask you about. And I see Helen wants to ask a question, but I just have one, Helen, then I'll let you go.
No worries.
You said two beautiful words, Gavin. You said selfish and selfless right at the beginning of answering my question. Mm-hmm. And I'm very curious about how did it come about that either it happened to you or you decided yourself in self-awareness to change it, but how and why does this change from living a selfish life to living a selfless life come about?
I mean, basically it all started in the second lockdown during 2020. In the first lockdown, I'd come back from Asia where I'd been living for 3 years. And I was trying to affect the outside world. And, you know, people were being paid to stay at home. So people weren't picking up their telephones. People weren't responding to emails. And I just thought, you know, if you can't affect the outside world, then let's go inside. Let's have a look at the internal world. And that's really where my mindset journey began. I would say my conscious journey started many, many years earlier, but took a pause or a hiatus and came back at the same time as my mindset journey. And, you know, I went to webinars, seminars, masterclasses, workshops, read hundreds of books, took on coaches and mentors. And during the early stages, I wanted to reconnect my human experience with my spirit. You know, we're mind, body, and spirit. So in doing so, I believe living a life of service is the most fulfilling or rewarding life that one can lead. So my developing houses for my own profit was not living a life of service. It was living somebody else's dream, perhaps. It was living somebody else's ideals. It was living generational patterns. It was living false beliefs, however you so wish to decide. But it certainly wasn't fulfilling and full of content.
Thank you, Gavin. And thank you, Maribel, for asking that question, which is actually very similar to the one that I was going to ask, because when you were talking, Gavin, about what you were doing in your 30s compared to what you were doing in your 40s, what was coming up for me was the difference between firstly service to self and then service to others, which you've mentioned a little bit as well. And I wanted to ask you specifically then, how your values have changed in that time, because you're talking about swimming the channel in order to raise awareness for plastic pollution. So obviously your values are more about the environment as well as others now. So I just wonder if you could give us a little rundown of what your values were earlier, but more specifically what they are now.
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say that my values in terms of environment and sustainability have always been the same. Just now I'm beginning to express them a lot stronger. So when I used to build houses, I would look to use eco-friendly materials where possible. I'd look to use sustainable processes where possible. You know, I've just moved into Malaga City and supposedly you can't recycle here. And I'm just like dumbfounded by this idea, you know? And it's like, I've been putting the same garbage in the same bins for, I don't know, about a week now. And I'm like, hang on, this is crazy. Like, I know where there are recycle bins. Like, okay, they're not like a street, 2, 4, 5 streets away. But when I go over there, I can go to a recycle bin. So I'm just so used to splitting up my trash and recycling that I'm going to take the extra length to get there, because the other way just seems madness. And kind of comes onto what I was saying to Maribel is like, you know, it's all about habits, changing habits. So you got to align your beliefs with your habits. And that's probably the most clear way to answer your question, is that I'm aligning them a lot clearer now than I was before.
And so what are your beliefs?
Well, my beliefs are, we are coming very close to the point of no return, whereby the Earth life cycle will end within 4 to 7 generations, unless we take pride and care in the environment in which we live. You know, I'm 43 now. I first had extensive experience of traveling this Earth when I was about 18, and I've seen the most beautiful place in the Earth, and I've been back to some of the most beautiful places in the Earth, and they are not the same that they once were. You know, somewhere that was untouched, uninhabited, just that picturesque beauty, now looks like a mound of trash. And you begin to think to yourself, well, how can this be? You know, and so I've come around to the point where I try and eat vegan as much as I can. I try to encourage people to grow their own food sources or vegetables as much as they can. You know, like, there's got to be this reversion to localism over globalism. Not for everything. I don't think it's an all or nothing endeavor. We've got to start making lots and lots of small changes for big effects. So, you know, I've been saying this for years. How these planning authorities give some of the permissions they do, I'll never know. Yet they don't decide that the future matters. You know, for instance, if you're building 1,200 apartments in a big inner city urban complex, what's to stop the person growing tomatoes on a little trellis outside their window on the 5th floor? Like, these are all things that we can design and, like, stop importing tomatoes from Ethiopia or wherever they might be coming from. You know, and it's not just that the farmers over there are probably using chemicals. It's then obviously like the logistics of getting it to a major international hub to transport it, is the packaging. It all has a massive knock-on effect. So I think really what we saw during the first year of COVID, of the pandemic, was a level of stillness that we need to revert back to in terms of consumerism. I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't do business or they shouldn't fly, but I'm certainly suggesting that we need to look after this wonderful place that we inhabit a lot better than we are.
I agree, definitely. And so you're making a change by changing yourself. So you're changing your own habits, and then you're also trying to convince or persuade other people to change theirs through the life coaching that you do. And then in addition to that, you're raising awareness of the pollution through the swimming the channel. I wonder if you could say something a little bit more about that. Where did that come from? Why did this idea come about? Could you tell us about this endeavor?
I'll just go back to the life coaching for 2 seconds.
Okay.
I don't want people to be misled.
Mm-hmm.
I do not shove down people's throats or clients' throats environmentalism that as a must. I only offer guidance and encouragement. There is no you have to. So in terms of coaching, that's that. In terms of swimming the English Channel, yeah, basically what happened was during the first lockdown in Spain, when I moved here, I could only walk up and down the beach every day because the local police didn't go there. And I was doing 10, 20 kilometers some days. And one day I saw this light and I just happened to ask myself where it was coming from. And I found out it was coming from Morocco. And I was like, if you can see it, then you must be able to swim there. And I have no idea why that question came to mind. I have no idea. It's, you know, just something that came up. And so I checked it out, and there's something called Gibraltar Straits Challenge. You can swim from Spain to Morocco. It's 16 and a half kilometers across open water, the mouth of the Mediterranean. And I'd actually applied to do that this year and not the English Channel. But basically, somewhere in the ether or in universal forces or the law of attraction, I don't really know, somewhere my registration got lost and I was asked to re-register. So that swim has now been registered for 2025 because there's a 3-year waiting list. And I was just like, you know, guys, I'm raising awareness around plastic pollution in oceans. Do you not think we can, you know, fast track me? We can't like speak to some of the guys that I'm behind and say, hey, we're going to put this guy ahead. No, that's not at all possible. Like, you know, your date is your date and that's it. So being quite sort of, you know, disappointed, my coach said to me, well, I've got a spot for you in September. And I had this funny feeling. And I turned to him and I asked him, spot for what? And he was like, the English Channel. And I just, in that moment, I didn't want any part of it. I just wanted to turn and run, put the phone down and listen to some music or whatever it was. And he said, just think about it for, you know, 48 hours. And I basically came to the conclusion that, you know, if you work with me, you'll hear me encourage you to the point that if you put your mind to it, you can achieve anything in this life. And so really, this is about showing people that you can go beyond your means. Your body can achieve what your mind believes. And you can do things you don't think you're capable of because you are superhuman.
Wow. And how are you training to, like, because you said 34 kilometers?
Yeah, so that's very kind of you to bring up my most anxious sort of area of my life right now.
sorry. I'd like to
ignore that one. basically, I swim in the sea as much as possible. So I live a 10, 15 minute walk from the sea. I should have upped my endurance by now, which is what's causing me a bit of the anxiety because obviously, it's a bit like a marathon. 34 kilometers is a long, long way. And I've basically been doing 3-4 kilometers maintenance for the last, I don't know how long, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. And every time in the last 2 to 3 months that I've gone to push the endurance, something has arisen. A shoulder injury that's come up from 7 years ago, a fever, an ear infection, a broken toe, you know. So it's like every time I just got to extend that maintenance level to start pushing the envelopes of endurance, I get kicked back down. So people are like, well, you really need to start, you know, upping your distances. And of course, they're right, I do. But I know that my body isn't going to let me swim daily, at least if I want to keep pushing the endurances. I've tried that. I had this vision of my mind swimming across the English Channel, leaving my body in the English shores. And as far as the Swimming Channel Association go, they wouldn't ratify that. So I've got to take my body with me, which means giving it more rest. And yeah, you know, the only thing you can do is the best that you can do. And I've said it before on many different occasions. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to do it. And in this case, doing it is the English Channel. So I have no real uncertainty about completing the challenge and being successful in it. I don't really have any anxiety around that. But essentially, the better you prepare for something, the easier your challenge will go, right? So every swim I do right now is different. The sea is always different. So it's just a learning curve. But yeah, basically, the attitude is, doesn't matter what happens, go down Dover, go for a swim, turn up in France, job done.
Amazing. I love the attitude. I'm rooting for you. You're going to do that. That's great. So this is like something I find it really amazing, because let me share with you, I wouldn't do it. But I do share the consciousness of living sustainably. Mm-hmm. So I admire very much what you're doing. And I've discussed with Helen in conversations before, what on earth is keeping people so static, knowing, because there's enough proof or evidence that our ecosystem is changing and not for the better. But it's so easy to use my car, it's so easy to fly by plane. Why should I change that? I mean, if it's just me, then maybe other people won't do it. So that's kind of like the attitude that I see. And at the beginning, I was really angry about it. And then at some point, I just thought, you know what? Human beings will get the result of their behavior and they will just go extinct. Don't you think that would be fair?
It would be fair to all the people that would have created that extinction process. Yes. Would it be fair to all the people that could have experienced human life on Earth without extinction? No. You know, this is not a me. You can look at what you eat. You can look at how you eat. You can look at what you eat and how it's packaged. If everybody just started to make small changes in their lives, we would start to see a pretty big impact quite quickly. And there are reasons for them not making that. They are lazy, which basically to me means that they're programmed and that they're not conscious, or that they have a very low level of consciousness, or that they are just selfish. And that's okay. We're all different. But ultimately, it's up to the ones, as I said before, that have the strength of mind and the initiative to try to create a better environment for us to lead.
Is that the best way of inspiring others, changing that lack of motivation so that they improve their habits?
Yeah, I mean, you can't force people. You can only inspire by education and not force. Create, influence, impact, inspire. Inspire change by encouragement, not by force. Inspire by education, not by regulation. That's how you inspire.
Thank you for that, Gavin. I'd like to go back to something you said earlier. I'm getting the impression that you're quite a spiritual person, and I'm just wondering whether the stage that you are in your life now, do you feel that you have been called to do? Are you responding to some kind of calling, saying that you need to be doing what you're doing?
It's a very interesting question. I believe that we all have a purpose, and that purpose needs to be passion driven. Otherwise, we can awaken and we can have a greater amount of consciousness than many, but we can just go back robotically and programmatically and systematically back to a life of less consciousness. And so really, it's not about a calling from God, the divine, the spirit world. I have sought deep, deep within, and I've seen what I'm molecularly made up of. I've seen what I am spiritually made up of, and trying to change habits, create a better environment, and serve people to fulfill their true potential aligns with that.
What are the challenges facing that? Because that is an audacious and momentous task to do. So what challenges or obstacles are coming up for you?
Well, I mean, you know, firstly, there's the obstacle of being programmed. So the system programs us, right? That's the education system. That's the marketing system. That's the penal system. All of these systems that we have in place have just basically programmed us. So overcoming the programming is probably the greatest resistance that I come up across. You know, why can't I have a Coca-Cola? Okay, if I can't have 40 grams of sugar and 300 milliliters, I'll have a Coke Zero. Why can't I have a Coke Zero? Like, I asked this question in my Facebook group the other day, you know, how many people use chemical products? And the answer was every single one of us. Okay, great. Now we've established that we use those products. Why? Do you consciously choose to use those products? Because if you knew the level of harm that they were doing to you, your loved ones, your friends, the general public, and the greater environment, you would not use all of those chemical products. I'm sorry, you just wouldn't. Like, people really, really need to wake up to what is going on Earth. We have been programmed, and that's the greatest challenge I have.
Mm-hmm. And how do we wake people up, or are you still working this out?
So the only way that you can wake people up or raise their level of consciousness is to be the beacon of hope, to be the light inspiration and shine your inspiration and your light wherever you go. And that doesn't mean to do it in a way that people think you're putting it in their face. And, you know, it means doing it from a place of heart, doing it from a place of kindness, doing it from a place of no judgment, and believing that people are going to see the truth. Because that's what often happens, is I will be coaching and we'll be coming up against a lot of resistance. And then pow! There's that aha moment. And they're like, really? So now I'm living in my truth. Yes. Yes. Now you are living in your truth. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all about truth. And, you know, people aren't really being true with themselves. So you can't help someone unless they're willing to help themselves first. So they've got to be willing to take the first step. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen my email signature, but it says, if you can choose to be anything in life, choose to be inspirational. And it's simply that if you inspire people in the right way towards the right things, then I believe they will see the truth.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as a kind of role model then for others, or would you not use that expression?
I see myself as a truth teller.
Okay.
As a wisdom whisperer, as a thought leader, as an impact leader. I've been very lucky and privileged to have had an incredible human experience today. And just by sharing that fountain of knowledge and wisdom with others, I would like to believe would inspire them. So no, I don't believe I'm a role model. I'm always seeking to improve my own self. I'm not seeking to, you know, be the habit police, the consciousness police, the plastic police. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that if people see the truth and you can show them that truth through widening their lens of perspective, then the outcome will change for all of us. More positive.
And people will step up and do the audacious work that the world needs in order to make it a better place, hopefully.
The audacious work. Absolutely. Amen.
Well, that is certainly inspirational. So Gavin, our podcast is called Audaciousness, and the audacious part relates to having the audacity to come up with such a huge goal in the first place. And the word nest describes a spit of land that just juts out into the sea, like solid ground, surrounded by constant water, tumultuous wind, etc. So audaciousness means for us having a solid grounding on which you practice your audacity. And our question is, while you are pursuing your goal, where do you get the solid grounding to continue while everything else is in motion? How do you stay grounded in your vision despite everything that life is throwing at you?
Well, firstly, what a beautifully worded question. I commend you both for creating that. Here's what I would say. I want to live the most extraordinary life that I can. I want to ensure that others can also live to their full potentials and their purpose by way of passion. So the way that I stay grounded is really to check in with myself on a daily basis. So when I talk about checking in, I will be monitoring my emotions, and emotions are just a signal as to how I'm reacting to events that are occurring. And if those emotions are misguiding me or misleading me to an outcome or a direction that I don't think is in the best interests of fulfilling my true potential and therefore others, then I will look at that and basically change state. So what we mean by changing state is reframing the way that we've seen or experienced something. And when you do that, you basically are able to see that you've been tricked into seeing something the way that you saw it before, whereas now you're seeing it from a place of truth. So really, I don't allow myself to, you know, you just mentioned, Helen, the idea of a role model. I don't allow my ego to have any sort of control over any behavior or emotions. Like, being able to make conscious choices is the greatest, greatest asset we have. So I'm not perfect. I am swimming the English Channel, as we've talked about. I'm extremely disciplined. I've had my setbacks, sure, but I'm extremely disciplined. Now, let's look at other parts of my life. Am I as disciplined in those areas as I am in my training to swim the English Channel? And the answer is, in some parts, yes. And in other parts, no. Okay, great. You have a sense of awareness, Gavin. Now let's go and look at why you're not disciplined in those other areas of your life. Are they areas that are serving you? Are they going to get you the outcomes that you want? If not, then let's drop them. If they are, then let's look at how we can do things differently to get better results. So I think staying grounded really means creating an awareness around your level of consciousness in your daily habits and activities and emotions.
Beautiful. Thank you for that, Gavin.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being able to come to our podcast.
Thank you both for inviting me.
So that was a really interesting discussion that we had with Gavin there, Maribel. And listening to that again now, what are some of the key things that you're taking away from it?
Well, that was certainly a thought-provoking conversation. I can already say just from that conversation that he's most probably a really good coach, even though I've never had a coaching conversation with him. But, well, that's just my impression. One of the things that I thought the way that he expressed it was spot on, and that is this idea of living with this higher vibration and helping people live with a greater level of consciousness. I just think that that phrase is so deep and powerful that I've never come across it. And, you know, you explained coaching and how to help people discover their purpose or, you know, live a fulfilled life. But this is like, wow, this is like really the essence of how a coach, even though he doesn't like or particularly likes to be called that, is a great explanation. So that is one thing, the way he described what he does and what it is that many people need to do. I think this is what I've been doing with this podcast, and that is increasing my level of consciousness through the conversations that we have, through the work that we're doing, and through the interviews that we have with our guests. So doing things that help you awaken, or working with someone that helps you achieve a higher level of consciousness, is like, is there anything else that we should be doing? What do you think, Helen?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, a while ago I started, you know, I got on the road to veganism. You know, our last podcast was with Jen Armstrong, and we mentioned that there, that when you discover something new and you wake up about, you know, how we're treating animals or how we're treating the planet, or, you know, something that's going on in the world that you had your eyes closed to for so long, and you wake up, then you want to tell the world about it. Mm-hmm. And the way that you kind of, or the way that I did it, and the way that Jen explained in the when we talked to her last time, was that you want to just shout at everybody and wake everybody else up. But what I've realized is that people wake up at different times. People will only wake up when they are ready to wake up. And the way that you deal with your own awakening is, and Gavin had this, well, he had some lovely expressions. I asked him about, you know, is he a role model? But he kind of threw that back at me and said, well, no, I'm not really a role model. But what he does is, he shines the light where there's darkness. And I love that expression. It's like what you said about the vibration. When you're vibrating at this higher frequency, you're shining your light, and then things happen. Things manifest themselves because you're living at a completely different vibrational level and a level of consciousness than you were previously. And that attracts other people who are also at a higher level of consciousness as well. And there's an expression, I think it was Eckhart Tolle that I first heard this expression about the light and the darkness. And he said that darkness cannot exist where there is light. So if you're trying to fight, you know, these dark forces of fear and anger and everything that's, you know, might be wrong in the world, the way that you have to do it is not go down to that level of getting angry at the anger, but simply to shine your light, because darkness cannot exist where there is light. So you, in shining your light, will be reaching a much wider group of people and having a much better effect than getting into this angry place. And, you know, when you're in fear and anger, you're vibrating at a lower level, and that's what you attract as well. So I think that's a lovely way that he expressed, you know, the light and the darkness. I think that for me is something key that I've taken away from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. You just shine positivity or a positive attitude, and that's something that people want to be around, not angry, negative, barking people.
Definitely.
There's one thing that I wanted to discuss with you. Maybe you can help, because I really don't have an answer to this, but maybe you can help me think it through. He said that the greater gift of life is to give. And he switched from living a selfish life to living a selfless life. And when you first listen to that, it sounds really cool, and it makes sense, because you're focusing on what the planet needs, what other people need. Now, I have the issue here in what I help my clients improve, and that is usually the type of people that I work with are givers. The thing is that they give too much and are other-centered. And that what that means is that they forget or ignore their needs, ignore their boundaries. And basically, because of that super agreeableness and other-centeredness, people basically do whatever they want with them. Stay late at work. They don't say no, so they say yes to everything because I want to be nice. How can I kind of, like, in my head, make this living a life of selflessness where you give and not let it become, what should I call it, sacrifice? Like, where is the middle place? Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I think you're probably getting there already, because you mentioned the word boundaries before. And I think it's all about setting your own boundaries and taking care of yourself, because ultimately, the most important person in your life is you. You know, you have to be at your best condition in order to be able to help other people. And so if you're, you know, you mentioned about people who sacrifice themselves, if you're sacrificing yourself for other people and not taking care of yourself, then you're actually doing other people a disservice, because you're not bringing the best version of yourself into the equation. So a lot of it is definitely about taking care of yourself in order to be able to lead this selfless life of helping other people. And Gavin said, there was a lovely quote that he said, living a life of service is the most fulfilling and rewarding life that one can lead. And I would agree with that, but in order to be able to do that, you have to take care of yourself above all.
So basically what you're saying, those two, at least from the first view at it, extremes of selfishness and selflessness, they can coexist, because then there is a degree of selfishness. I mean, in the English language, the word selfish has a negative connotation, but if we call it like healthy, being healthily selfish or just taking care of yourself, then is that a prerequisite to be able to live a life of service?
Well, I think it is. You know, as I say, otherwise how can you do it if you're not taking care of yourself? How can you do it?
All right. I think that's solved.
Well, that's where I am on my awakening journey, but I'm still awakening, so you know, yeah. It may change in time, but yeah, that's where I feel. And so I make sure that I do take care of myself first and foremost in order to be able to help other people, or just to shine the light. I mean, even if you're not, you know, because it's not always our purpose to actively go out and help other people. You know, you are a coach and you've seen that that's your purpose to do that. And I was a teacher, you know, and it was my purpose at the time. But now I feel, for example, my purpose is to, and I don't want to say be a role model because I also don't like that word. I asked Gavin that, but I knew I didn't like it either. Just to shine your light and to be an inspiration, maybe. Gavin talked about inspiring by education and not force. So inspiring just by my own actions of saying, you know, I'm living my values. I'm being audacious. I'm being a beacon of hope, being a light in the darkness. At least that's what I feel that my mission is right now. And that, I think, is one way of me being the best person that I can be, in order to shine the light for others.
Yeah, I think now that you use the expression to shine the light, I mean, what light can shine if the batteries are dead? Actually, you have to, I mean, at least in the long run, you have to have boundaries and be selfish for your own, let's say, health and sanity and fulfillment of your needs in order to be able to be of service to others.
Yeah, there's a lovely quote from Marianne Williamson, and I think I've told you this one before, and I've actually got it stuck on my desk here in front of me because I just love it, and it's a long quote, but I'll just quote a little bit of it. So it begins: our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And then later on, she says, as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our own fear, so our darkness, our presence automatically liberates others. And I think that kind of summarizes what we were saying before. But that quote from Marianne Williamson, and you know, if anybody in our listeners doesn't know that, really go and check it out, because the full quote is just so powerful.
It is. And
that's yeah, what I live by.
So that would be what she describes in the end. This is this inspiration of shining your light that you want to live by and not being a role model.
Mm-hmm. An inspiration. Yeah, that was a lovely conversation that we had with Gavin. And I wish him luck in everything that he does, and also in his goal to swim the English Channel in September. Mm-hmm. It's coming up very soon. So I hope you've been training for that, Gavin, if you're listening to this. And good luck with that.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be able to do that. Open water. No way. But hey, good for you, Gavin.
Go for it.
Thanks very much for listening to this episode of our podcast, Audaciousness. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. A huge thanks to Gavin for taking the time to share with us all his wonderful light. I certainly enjoyed it.
Yes. If you enjoyed this episode as much as we did, please give it a like. And if you think someone else would benefit from listening to this conversation, please pass it on to them and share it with your friends and your family and your colleagues.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with another audacious guest and another audacious episode. See you then. Bye.
Bye.